this message I'm going to give you today is very prophetic. I feel that it's very, very prophetic. And I want you to pay attention. You may put some notes down somewhere because it will come to pass. You'll see. And so you'll want to have this down. I'm going to talk to you about something, and this is probably a phrase. My title is going to be a phrase that you will probably hear over the next few months many, many times. I'm going to talk to you about the end-time church, and I will talk to you probably many times about a lot of end-time things, end-time people. But how many knows the end-time people is the end-time church? The end-time people have a remnant, or a church within a church. It's a remnant. And God is speaking to us. And I just want to say this about this end time church. It will be as no other generation, no other part of the body, no other generation. This end time church is a very special, special people. Highly anointed, full of power, and full of glory. That's what's going to come on the end time people. Because he said when darkness covers the earth and gross darkness of people, that's when my glory is going to be seen upon my people. So this church will be like no other. Very special, very powerful, and very anointed. And that doesn't matter who you are. You say, well, Pastor, I'm kind of, you know, I'm not too vocal with what I believe. Well, you just may as well get ready. Because God will use your personality just like you are. You don't have to speak boldly and loudly, and it's not about that. It's about his anointing on your life. And when his anointing comes out of you, it can come out as you whisper, as you speak, or however you do it, if you do it in the name of the Lord. So I want to welcome all of you here today. Trudy, so good to see you from Louisiana. God bless you, my sister. I saw you here last week, but didn't get to say thank you for being here. To all of you at home, God bless you. So good to have you with us today. Well, I don't need to tell you this, but the same anointing that rested on Jesus, the same Holy Spirit that touched Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that touches us. There's not another Holy Spirit. There isn't another anointing. Same Holy Ghost, the same anointing. And just as Jesus was, as the Bible says, the express image of his Father, we are to be the exact image of Jesus. Is that right? We are to be the image of Jesus, and he was the image, perfect image of his Father. So what's the problem with us? You know, how come that same anointing, as Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, who went here, D, I've got two mics. I only need one. Let me turn myself on. All right, am I on, Anise? There you are again. You're just getting trained for everything back there. But I interrupted myself, didn't I? But what is it that seems to stop the flow if I was to ask you, do you think that we are the exact expressed image of Jesus? We would know that there's something wrong. You know, Paul said, don't measure yourself with other people. That's not good. He said, don't compare yourself with them, because there's always going to be somebody in a greater position and a lower position. So you don't need to feel good about yourself if they're in a lower position than you at the job or spiritually or whatever. And we don't need to feel intimidated if they're above us. See, because everybody is the same in Jesus. Now, you can come into greater intimacy with him, to know him greater. But the Bible says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And that's what we are to do, how God anoints us with the Holy Ghost and with fire to go around doing all the good, casting out devils, healing the sick. But we see very little of that in these days. But we're going to see more. And I'm telling you, church, it's upon us. This end time church will not be known as we are known. So what is the problem with us? As I am reading the Bible through again, I'm in the book of Numbers. And when I got there and began to read some things about the people of Israel, again, something just went off in my spirit. I'm telling you, those poor people have just been preached up and down and sideways and diagonally and every way that we can. But the Holy Spirit always seems to pull something out. And so I just want to tell you today that after looking at them, and then going over to the New Testament and see what Jesus' brother James said about it, I would say the thing that stops the flow from that same anointing and that same Holy Spirit who lives in us is our tongue, our mouth. Our mouth gets us in trouble. Our mouth hinders the flow. Paul said, don't measure yourself with anyone else. But then he went farther and he said, don't measure yourself with yourself. Because yesterday could have been an awesome day. But today wasn't that awesome. Now, yesterday you were here spiritually. Today you're here. But if you get really carried away and something really bad happens at work, you may be here. But no. We don't fly high and be on cloud nine and then come into crashing when we're in trouble. There is an even keel that we keep. There may be some ups and some downs and some lows. But if you go off, as the world says today, and have a meltdown, screaming and cussing and crazy and kicking, there's a problem. And your tongue has gotten you in trouble. So let's look at what God says. Because listen, you're going to say, Pastor, are you kidding me? No, I'm not. And you will see why. But you know what God's going to do with this end time church? And I prophesied this to you. He is going to give us a new mouth. He is going to fix our mouth. He is going to help us. But this end time church must be a disciplined people. See, up until now, we've been able to hang out and do whatever we felt like doing. I said we've been able to, but we weren't really able to. Because we're accountable to God. But we ignore him when we want to. But when we don't want to ignore him and we need a miracle, we go real close to him. But he said, no, this end time church, my end time people, will be a disciplined people and they will be a responsible people. They will no longer hide on the side and do little things that hurt not only themselves, but hurt their families and hurt their finances, and everything begins to crash. And they wonder what's going on. God's not been nice to me. No, you've not been nice to yourself. Well, I better keep going because I don't want to stop here yet. But there's going to be an end time anointing on our mouth. You wait and see. Write it down. Let's look at Isaiah 6. Just like Isaiah here in this, many of you know this, but Isaiah 6, 6 and 7 says this. Then one of the, you know what? I want to read verse 5 too. Because Isaiah saw, the Bible says, when King Uzziah died, Isaiah saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. In verse 4 it says, and the doors, the post of their doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. The house was filled with smoke. Isaiah said, so I said, woe is me, because he was in the presence of the Lord. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. Unclean lips, people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Here's what I want you to get right here. Verse 6. And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. When you get in the presence of the Lord, conviction will come. Some people say, well, I would go to church, but they condemn me. They judge me. No, they don't judge you. See, condemnation will kill you and it'll hurt you. But conviction heals and conviction mends. And when you go into a church, if you don't feel conviction, I would go to another church. I'd get out. Leave that one. If you don't feel some kind of conviction, then there's not much going on in that house. Anytime you're in the presence of the Lord, you will feel the glory of God and something in you changes. And the Bible said right there that Isaiah saw himself and he said, "Oh God, help me. I'm a man of unclean lips. My lips get out of hand sometimes. I say things that I shouldn't say, oh God." And then he said, "Lord, and I live in amongst unclean people." And it says that the seraphim, one of the angels, came down and took got a coal off the altar with the tongs of heaven. And he got a hot coal. And the Bible says he put it to Isaiah's mouth. And he touched his lips. And when he touched his lips, he purged them of every ugly, nasty, hateful word. Purged. Why didn't it say that God touched, sent the seraphim and he got the tongs and he got the coal and he touched Isaiah's heart with it? Or he touched his mind with it. But it says he touched his mouth. Which tells us that our mouth is as important as our heart and our mind. Amen? So that shows us that it is very, very important. Now I want you to go or look over to Jeremiah 23 and 29. Write it down, Jeremiah 23 and 29. I love this. I love it. God speaking to Jeremiah. Now today, we've got a lot of people saying, "The Lord said, the Lord said, the Lord said. The Lord told me." And then we got a lot of people coming back and say, "Oops, that wasn't true. It didn't work out the way I thought. I don't think I was right. I lied. Or I didn't say it right." Jeremiah says, "No, I'm saying it right to you." The Lord spoke to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 23 and 29. Look, God speaking to him said, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" I'm telling you, God's word is so powerful. It is so strong. On the words, on the page it is strong. But when it gets in our heart and it comes out of our mouth, it should be so powerful. He said, it's like fire. Like fire, Jeremiah. When the word comes out, it will set things on fire. It will crush bad rocks. It will crush rocks. It will crush devilish things. It will crush them like powder. Like a hammer, my word's like a hammer. It's like the snow, it's like the rain. But I love it here, he said, it's like fire and it's like a hammer. Look back to Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 14. Write that down. Jeremiah 5:14. He goes much deeper here. Look at this. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, because you do it, behold, I will make my words in your mouth fire." He didn't say like fire. He said, when these words of mine come out of your mouth, they will be fire. And look at this. And the people, what? Would. The people would. W-O-O-D. The fire comes out of your mouth. The fire sets a wood on fire. And the people are wood. And there's a lot of bad things going on right now. But this end time people, this end time fire, oh, I can't say end time fire, it's just always been fire. But this end time church, this end time people will have a word shut up in our mouth. Just like Jeremiah. He said, it will be fire, but because it comes out of your mouth, it will set the wood on fire. And then let's read on. You just get so excited right there, you got to stop. It says, and this people would, and it shall devour them. Well, that's pretty tough. It's the word of God. I didn't say that. The word said it. He said, Jeremiah, you're only a spokesperson. You're only a prophet for nations forever. And so this word comes all the way down to us. Same Holy Ghost, same fire, because Jesus said, I will baptize you with, not water. John baptized with water. He said, I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. But he hasn't seen a lot of that fire coming out of our mouth. But this end time church, this end time people, he says, when you speak, the people will be wood, and you will speak it, and it'll burn it out of them, and it says they will be devoured. And yet today, people in America are, we're so scared. They're taking over. We're losing our battle. You know, we're losing everything Donald Trump set up. No. The fire has to come out of our mouth to burn up and devour the demonic of this world. The word of God, I'm telling you, church, will release not only the demons away from these people, but it will also tear down strongholds. It always has pulled down strongholds, but these strongholds have really been built up for a long time. And when he says the people would and you fire, they would. And when you speak and that's devoured, that means he's going to have to loose, Satan's going to have to loose some of the people he's taken captive. And that means some of the people you work with. They don't want to hear you. They even may be atheists. Don't run with them. But you've got to know that when you, like Jeremiah, like Isaiah, when he puts a coal to your mouth, and that's what he's doing in this service right now. If you will only believe in you at home, I believe that the Holy Spirit spoke this to me so plainly that the fire coal would come to our lips today and touch us, and a new anointing, a new touch upon the people of God who have never felt what you're going to feel right now in this service today. Hallelujah. Listen to this, Luke 21:15. I want you to see the first five words again. Jesus speaking. He said, I will give you a mouth. What? Jesus, I already have a mouth. No. No, I'm going to give you a mouth. I know what kind of mouth you got. Now, I know what kind of mouth you have. But I will give you a mouth, look at this, and wisdom. Woof. That's because of that fire. It burns things out of us first. So he said, I'll give you a mouth and wisdom, look at this, which all your adversaries, woo, get ready, will be able to contradict or resist. When you speak with this anointing and this kind of fire coming out of your mouth, when Jesus says, I will give you a mouth, he gives us a mouth. And it'll take care of that old ugly mouth as Isaiah was talking about. I'll give you a mouth and wisdom, and all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. When you are witnessing to somebody at work, and every time you say something, they come back with something else negative. And then they give you that hogwash, or that's this, it's nothing, I don't believe that. The Bible says when you begin to speak with this new mouth and this wisdom that Jesus says, if you'll only come to me, this is yours for me to give. He's telling his disciples, you don't have to operate in your own mouth. I've given you a mouth. And when you speak, you will speak with wisdom, and your adversary will not be able, all of a sudden they are going to be totally stumped. Your family, your friends, and you say it, and you're not going to have to argue or anything. It's just going to, they'll just be stopped. They can't resist it, can't contradict it. Well, how many of you can believe that God would give us a new heart? Okay. He already did that. How many's already got the new heart? Okay, took out the old stony heart. The Bible says that cold stone heart or stone cold heart. He took that out. When we came to him and gave our hearts to them, he took that old heart and he gave us a soft heart. A heart that belonged to him. And he gave us that heart that loves differently than you used to love. Well, okay, we can grasp that he gave us a new heart when we got saved. But how many of you can believe that he can give us a new mind? Huh? Sure you can believe that. Why? Because we've heard that over and over and over. Yeah, I got the mind of Christ. Ooh, it was so comforting. The other day, a while back, I heard Pastor Chris from Nigeria speaking, and he said, folks, I have a perfect mind. And I thought, oh, to have the audacity and the boldness and the strength to say my mind is perfect. You know why he could say that? Because he knew Jesus. And see, Jesus' mind is 100% pure. And it's 100% clean. And it's 100% victorious. It's not here and here and here and here. Even when he was going to the cross, it was a hard, hard time for him. But he said, nevertheless, my precious Father. See, all of this stuff we're going through now, I really don't think it's about what we're going through. I think it's about what we're going to, folks. And we're the end time church. We're the end time people. There's got to be something much more special and powerful and anointed in this group than there was even in the early church. They were babies. That was the church just getting started 2,000 years ago. So if they were so powerful, the people would walk through their shadows and be healed and the dead was raised as a baby church. How much more should it be more powerful now that we're 2,000 years old, don't you think? Hallelujah. So, not so hard for us to believe that he would give us a new heart and a new mind. And yet it doesn't feel like we have his mind sometimes, does it? It just does not feel that way. We get disgruntled about something. We get worried about something. We get concerned about something. You know, and the devil's always coming to try to oppress, depress, or take you out. Try to do something to you to mess with your mind. Joyce Meyer, Benny Hinn, I don't know how many people's written books on the mind, the battlefield. And it is, folks. I'm telling you, it's not a playground. It's a battleground in our mind. Man, it's constantly moving. And yet, if we can ever grasp that we do have the mind of Christ, because it says we have the mind of Christ Jesus, then he does want our minds to be 100% pure, 100% clean and victorious. And this end time church will operate in that kind of mind. Can you believe that? Thank you, Brother Chris. Tim. Excuse me. See, it's easy for us to believe that because that's Christ's mind and that's his heart. But how about our mouth? Can you believe he would give us a new mouth? Jesus said, I will, but you're like, I don't know about that, man. My mouth. Pastor, you don't know my mouth, man. I used to be in the army. I used to work in the oil fields. Well, I used to go to church. That's enough to make you get out there sometimes. See, do you believe God can give us a new mouth? And I kind of feel like Elijah out there in the boneyard, and God says, do you believe these bones can live? He's looking at all these dry bones. He's like, oh, God, thou knowest. I said, girl, do you believe I can give you a new mouth? Well, thou knowest, God, only you. I know who my mama and my daddy was and where they came from. Strong stuff. So we look at all this. But listen to Matthew 10, verse 19 and 20. And you've yet seen people come into the church and be totally saved. And man, their mouth was so vulgar. It was so bad. And their mouths just went, and it was gone. And it was a total supernatural miracle. They say, Pastor, I'm not said a bad word. I've not thrown fits. I've not done this and that. Why? Because they came in and had a new heart, a new mind, and a changed mouth. Now this Matthew 10... I don't know if any of you watching may be getting ready to go to court, but I have given this to so many young people getting ready to go before a judge or somebody going before their attorney because they're having a settlement suit and all kinds of things. But I've given this so many times, and every single time I've given it, even to people going through divorce, I recommend they get this. And I'm telling you, it touches them every time because the word is fire. Amen? I said his word is fire. And it burns out and it burns through. All right? Matthew 10, 19 and 20. But when they deliver you up, don't you worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all bring this. Some say when you're going up before the synagogues. But I've even given this to college students. They're going in for an interview. Or people going for an interview on a job. I say, look, don't fret over it. I think it was Mark that says, don't premeditate. Don't even give a whole lot of thought to what you're going to say. When you get in there, just say what comes to you because it'll be the Holy Spirit. One version says it'll be your Father that speaks and not you. What's that saying? You've got a different mind and you have a different mouth. We have a new mouth, folks. We don't talk about that much, but we really do. We've got a new heart, we have a new mind, and we also have a new mouth. But I know it's very easy to get involved with the flesh, especially when you're all worked up about going before the court, going before a judge, going before your boss, or a brand new place you've never been before. But don't premeditate and don't worry about what you're going to say. Just let the Holy Spirit, let the Father give you the thoughts. You say, I don't know how to hear him. Yes, you do. You would be surprised how clearly you hear the Father. He will just give you thoughts, send them through his Holy Spirit, and you'll know exactly what to do, Russell. Just hold on to those things. He will speak and show you what to do. So, but it is easy to get involved with the flesh and start talking with it, worrying about it. And then today, my goodness, it's so easy to get involved with what the world is saying and think that the world is all powerful and they're all knowing and they're the intellects and we're just a bunch of little dumbbells down here. Just these little people and they know it all and they got all the authority and they got the platforms. Well, if you think they're all intelligent and intellectual, they may be. All powerful? Oh, yeah, those senators and they're powerful. But let me show you a powerful person and you tell me, what do you think about Governor Cuomo? How powerful and intellectual is he? More people died in those convalescent homes than died at 9/11. And he's getting by with that? Three girls have already come out and said how he sexually harassed them in that powerful office of his. But he can deny it and say, I didn't mean it. I didn't know that I was teasing like that and it offended someone. I didn't know that I had a crazy mouth. I thought I was Mr. Do Good. I thought I was Mr. Handsome. I was Mr. Wonderful. And I thought the girls were delighted that I was interested in them. And they're like, you dirty old man, get out of here. No, they just changed their job. And they took them out and put them up a little higher. So, don't bother, folks. Do not bother to get intimidated by the powerful and intellectual. Now, I'll tell you this. I may be a plain little old girl from Porterville, California, who went to Olive Street School, went to high school on Olive Street, got my first job on Olive Street, my second job on Olive Street, got married on Olive Street. I bank on Olive Street, shop on Olive Street, had the first church office in Olive Street, founded the church on Olive Street, the first church at Veterans Building, Olive Street. This church is on Olive Street. I'm bringing my daughter into it now. She got married on Olive Street. The babies go to church on Olive Street. I mean, Olive Street School, Porterville High School. Honey, that was at least 50 years ago. Actually, 60. I've been on this one street. You know what? I drove it 2 years ago. I thought, I'm going to go from Westwood to down there. We got married on Olive Street. My husband and I got married there at the First Assembly of God Church. So I drove from Westwood, where the church is, down to Olive Street, where the church is. 3 miles. I've been on this 3 mile street for 60 years, plus a little bit. At Porterville at that, a little 1, 2, 3 horse town, who knows? But I'll tell you what, church, only because I know Jesus and who he is, and I have his heart, and I have his mind, and I'm working on receiving his mouth, and I can stand on any platform with any one of these people and never be intimidated, rot one out. I wouldn't care to stand beside Joyce Myers. You say, ooh, are you kidding, Pastor? Do you know how many books she wrote? Do you know how many books you've written? One. And she covers the Bible stores. So she hasn't been where I've been, know what I know. And I certainly don't know what she knows, and I don't want to pay the price Joyce paid to be where she is. But I'm just telling you, church, I said that to say you got your own story, but you don't have to back up to anybody. Because of Jesus, only because of Jesus. Because it's his heart, it's his mind, and it's his mouth, he said, I'll give to you. One lady rode on a plane with somebody going to Florida. She sat right down next to one of the pastor's assistants in town. And that assistant said to her, I just wish that you're, she was telling him how when she came into church, she always felt the presence of the Lord. And he said, well, we really don't believe in that. And she said, oh, wow, I'm sorry. But he said, I would just like to get your pastor in a theological debate with my pastor. I'd like for them to sit down and he would just clean her clock with theology. She said, anytime. She will join you. Now, he probably could clean my clock or plow or whatever you want to call it. I don't know. All I know is Jesus comes on the scene and the Bible says, we are fire, they are wood. And the fire devours the wood. Oh gosh, I got so much to do. How am I? Oh, my clock's wrong. My battery stopped. That's a good excuse. I got this one though. So it's so easy, folks, to get caught up in all those things. Then your mind goes here and there, even though it's the mind of Christ. But the end time people will be different. This, the Lord spoke to me this morning. We will be a high definition people. High D. High definition people. People will know when you walk in who you are and there's something different about you. You professional people on your jobs, oh, they will know. And they'll also know if you're playing. They know whether you're playing or whether it's a real deal. Now, it'll all come out, but like Isaiah said, he's going to set a hot coal to our lips. But in spite of all these promises that God made, we could go back to Deuteronomy. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Read this when you get home. I'm just going to read a little bit of it. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 20. In spite of all the promises that God made to Israel, they spoke certain words that brought cursings and punishment to them. And they didn't get to go into the promised land because they were not disciplined in themselves. They weren't obedient. And listen, look at me a minute. Their mouths got them in trouble. It was their mouth that kept them out of the promised land. Let's read Deuteronomy 1 and verse 20. Moses said, "You've come to the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God has given us. Go possess it." Verse 21. "Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you." Look at this. And then he tells them, "Do not fear or be discouraged," because he knew there would be giants there. "But don't be afraid and don't be discouraged." Verse 22. And then Moses says, "And every one of you came near to me and said, 'Let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and the cities into which we shall come.'" Are you kidding me? God just said, "The land of the Amorites is before you. Just go in and possess it." Twice. "Now the land's before you. Go get it. Go take it. But don't be afraid. Don't fear. And don't be discouraged." And in spite of all that, they said, Moses, he said, "Every one of you people came to me. And you said, 'Could you send some spies in there to check out that land? Let's just send them in to see.'" Well, why do you need that? Moses may have said, "Why do you need that?" And they said, "Well, we just need a little confirmation." Confirmation? What? What do you need confirmation for? When God says, "Do this, and don't be afraid, and don't be discouraged," why do you need confirmation? God spoke to their heart. He said, "Go get it." And God's word never changes, folks. He never goes back on his word. So in verse 28, it says they sent in 12 spies. So Moses went ahead with it, sent the spies in. It was the worst thing he could have ever done. Don't ever ask carnal men what they think. If you ask 12 men or women and they're carnal what they think, you're going to get 25 reasons why you cannot do it. They didn't need to ask. They just needed to do what they knew to do. Because carnal men stand on their own will. They stand on what they see with their eyes. And so they came back. It was the worst thing that could have ever been done. And they came back and discouraged this people. Now turn over to the book of Numbers, if you're going with me. Now look, folks, we look at them and say, "Yeah, God promised them a lot of things, and in spite of all that, they still wouldn't believe him." Well, we do the same thing. I mean, you've got a book full of New Testament promises that we read all the time. You've got promises out of the Proverbs. Some of you read that every time there's a 31-day month, you read it. Good. But they still rebelled. And today, all over America, we're hearing how many giants have filled our land. There's giants in America. It's filth and it's sin. And I know I hated that they're taking out Dr. Seuss books. That just shows you how intellectual they are. Leave the porn books, but get rid of Dr. Seuss. And oh no, don't you talk about certain things, man. We're politically correct. You don't say he or she anymore. But oh, go listen to that hip-hop song that is so filthy that no one can listen to it. What is wrong with these people? We need some people with wood in our mouth that can devour that wood. Oh, fire in our mouth that can devour that wood. Amen? And we don't need any of those spies to come and tell us what the devil's already told us 50 times. Listen, the devil tell you can't do it. You don't need anyone else to tell you you can't, you can't, you can't. All right, let me close. Numbers 13, look at this. Numbers 13 and 30. Numbers 13, 30 and 31. Caleb, he said, "Let us go and take possession. We are well able to overcome it." He's an old man. He's been around the block. He's lived for God many years. He said, no, just let us go in and take the land. I know the giants are there, but look, we are, what did he say? Well able to overcome it. Now look at verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able. Somebody say it. We are not able. What did Caleb say? We are able. But these guys said, because they were so carnal, we are not able to go up against this people. They are stronger than we. Verse 32, and they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people at home we saw, and the people we saw in it are men of great stature. There were giants there. See, when these people started talking, they started talking crazy like they are today. Look what it said. We saw giants in that land that we spied out. And that land, they devour its inhabitants. The giants eat the people. They went crazy. They went berserk. That's what's happening in America today. But God said, this end time people will be different. You will speak with fire in your mouth and have some discipline and anointing, a fresh anointing of special people. And then at Numbers chapter 14, I want to look at Numbers chapter 14. This has always been fascinating to me since I was a little girl. Verse 14, verse 1 says, so all the congregation lifted up their voices and they cried, and the people wept that night. Well, at least they were in one mind and one accord. But it was on the wrong thing. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation. Let's go down to verse 5. Look at this. This is the sweetest. God bless Joshua and Caleb. God bless their precious hearts. And look at Moses and Aaron here, brothers. Verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, they tore their clothes. Verse 7, now listen to what Caleb and Joshua say. It is so sweet and so honorable. Verse 7, and they spoke to all the congregation of the people of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly, it's good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. A land that flows with milk and honey. And then look what they say. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land. Oh, listen, these men are now going to speak with fire in their mouth. For they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Somebody ought to be clapping your hands. Do not fear them. Their defense has left them. See, sometimes we're afraid of what's going to happen. And God said, that defense is over. It's gone. You're worried about something that's already been taken care of by me. And they said, please don't rebel against God. Please don't do that. This is a good land. It's a wonderful land. It flows with milk and honey. And by the way, the Lord is with us. But I'll tell you something, church. Whenever you get that old spirit of discouragement and unhappiness and fear and you're listening and looking at all the giants, when that happens, you know what's going to happen? I can tell you right now. You're going to turn against God. You're going to start blaming him for everything. God, this is your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. They said, God, we should have just stayed back there and ate the leeks and garlic. Should have just stayed back there. But you know what? All the goodness, all the good things that God did, the fire by night, the cloud by day, the shade, the coolness, the warmth, all of this, it made not a bit of difference to them. It made no difference because now they're all worked up and so mad and they believe the word of their friends other than the words of God. It was one leader from each of the tribes. That's who the spies were. And they believed their word, just common, as Paul said, mere men. And they believed their words more than the words of God. But those precious men had fire in their mouth, but these people persisted and said, no, we are not going in. Now just think about that for a minute, church. Just think. It was their mouth that persisted. Their mouth got them into trouble and brought punishment, and also brought punishment and brought cursing instead of blessing. Blessing or cursing? Choose the blessing. Life or death? Choose life. But they brought their own punishment and their own cursing on. And now Numbers 14, you're going down, and God says, oh, Moses, how long do I have to contend with this whining, murmuring, complaining people? God said, I am too through. I'm not doing it anymore. They are not going into the promised land. I mean, when God is done, he's done. How long will these people reject me? Now I'm rejecting them. They yell, but we're under grace. We're under grace. Wait a minute. Well, there's some things that God said in the New Testament that will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Did you know that? He said, without holiness, we will not see God. This end time people will be a holy people. All the stuff that used to never bother your spirit. You did it. You did a little of this, a little of that, a little of that. It never convicted you. I declare to you today, by the word of the Lord, suddenly some things are going to start convicting you and being wrong to you that weren't wrong before. What is that? It's a spirit of holiness. It's a spirit of righteousness and discipline and order coming to this end time people, the people of God. I want you to put up one more time, and I want you to stand up with me. Luke 21 and 15. We are coming, church, into a new dimension of power. Does anyone believe that? Coming into a new dimension of power. It's a new era. It's a new time. It's a new dimension. Luke 21 and 15. Is it up? Would you read this with me? These are words from Jesus. I wanted you standing to read this. Please read it out loud with me. I will give you a mouth. Let's read it over. I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. Amen. Somebody say amen. Yes, Lord. So, folks, I'm just going to leave you with this. Please read. Every day, read something in this. Every day, read. Every day, pray. Every day, trust him. You're going to hear things all around you, your relatives, your friends, your bank. The doctor will say things to you. And when the doctor gives you a bad report, it's going to try to, your flesh is going to try to crowd out this word that says, by my stripes you are healed. I am the God who heals you. It'll try to drown that out, I promise. But if you know what's written, then it can still be fire in your mouth to even burn that sickness out. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. May this word go over that little baby in your womb, honey. May this word bring total sweetness to that womb in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Every day, church. For the past 2 weeks, and I know this will continue, my heart has been turned toward the lost, lost souls. I mean, I thought of them before, but never like this. And God says, I'm going to get every one of my people involved in it. And he's going to send people into you, toward you, and it'll be like a trap. When they walk in, they will just talk to you and say, you know, I've been having back problems, or I'm having problems with my daughter. I don't know what to do. Or I was abused from a child, and I don't know what to say. And you're going to say, oh my gosh, that was me. And they're going to say, how did you make it through? And you're going to point them right here. And it will be fire in your mouth. And it will devour the woods. Could we pray? Wonderful Jesus, you've been here with us. You've heard these words. I did the best I could do, Lord, to deliver this word of fire to your sweet people. For Lord, we are not only sweet, but we are powerful. But we don't know really how powerful we are with this heart
and this mind and this mouth.
But Lord, help us to remember these words.
If there's a brother or a sister in this house right now, or one listening online at home on Facebook, maybe you're listening tomorrow, Monday morning, but he's the same. He's always powerful. There's no age with it. So it doesn't matter when you're listening. He'll do the same for you.
Is there a man, a woman, a child, boy or girl, that would say, Pastor Paulette, my mouth has gotten me in so much trouble. In spite of everything God has done for me, I've turned my back on Him. But I want to turn back around to Him right now. I want to turn to His face. I want to take His face in my hands and say, Lord, look at me. Look at my face, Jesus. And He says, come here, sweetheart. Come on. Daddy's got you. Daddy's got you. I'll put you in my arms. And He said, here, take my heart. I'll take your old hardened heart. Here, take my mind. Your mind is so messed up. Here, take my mouth. You're going to need it. If that's you, would you come down here and just stand with me a minute and let's get free right now. Don't take it home with you. Don't go home the same way you came. Go home another person. Go home totally changed. Come on, don't be ashamed. I walked that aisle one night. I walked it. Bring me my mask, please, somebody. Come on, Shannon. It's all right, honey. I walked it just like Shannon. Anyone else that want to say I went back on him? But he's been good to me, Pastor. Come on, you at home. You need to look at yourself. Say, God, I need a new heart. My heart has turned hard. Did you know you can get a hardened heart by looking at circumstances? You know that, don't you? And our mind can get so messed up and need healing. Don't be ashamed of that. I wish someone else would step down here with me. I know there's more than one. But one said, I don't care who's looking. I've often wondered, Shannon, what would have happened if I hadn't gone down there that day? But the only difference is I've seen this girl stand here before. But you know what? She says, I need a refilling. What I had from yesterday feels like it's slipping away, so I'm going to get more. Anyone else? You just want more? All right, you two came for it. So, Father, I praise you for my sweet sisters. Lay it down, girls. Just lay it.
Amen. Amen. Woo. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you and bring you into your promised land with your new heart and your new mind and your mouth full of fire. May you go out with a missionary mentality. Go in Jesus' name. May He bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine down upon you, to be gracious to you, turn His countenance toward you and give you peace in your home and your body and your finances and your life and your family and your marriage and this church in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo!